I know what expense chaos looks like. You've got receipts from reporters in 5 different countries, freelancer invoices, subscriptions nobody remembers signing up for. It's a nightmare. Well, the good news is Ramp takes care of all of that. Ramp is a free corporate card that automates away your entire expense process. So, the moment your team makes a purchase, Ramp handles everything. Receipt matching, categorization, approvals, the works. And for new members, Ramp offers a complimentary white glove onboarding service to help you migrate from your current corporate card to start using Ramp. Plus, you'll get a free metal card to use, an impressive tactile upgrade. So don't wait. Switching to Ramp is like hiring a full-time employee just for expense management, only way easier. Over 25,000 businesses trust Ramp, including Shopify and the Boys and Girls Club of America, which is why they were just named number one in spend management by G2. And now, for a limited time, listeners of this show can get $250 when you join Ramp. Just go to ramp.com/success. That's ramp.com/success, ramp.com/success. Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. Looking to own a business that supports education in your community and provides financial freedom? Join Huntington Learning Center. As the top revenue-producing K-12 tutoring and test prep provider, Huntington delivers better student results than any other education franchise brand and 45% higher average franchise revenue than our nearest competitor. Huntington has spent nearly 50 years perfecting a proven system that helps students succeed and helps franchise owners thrive. So why Huntington? 1. A low startup investment. 2. Turnkey systems. 3. Dedicated support teams. And 4. Multiple revenue streams to maximize your business growth. No education experience? No problem. Huntington makes building a rewarding business simple for all. The demand for tutoring is higher than ever. In today's growing $5 billion industry, Huntington helps you succeed. Call 1-800-653-8400 or visit huntingtonfranchise.com. That's 1-800-653-8400 or visit huntingtonfranchise.com. Don't wait. Own a business that changes students' lives and yours. Hey, I'm Dan Bova from Entrepreneur.com, and thank you for joining us for another episode of How Success Happens. Word of warning, it could get loud. Today's guest is a guy who is not afraid to get in the weeds, get in the grease traps, get in the mouse droppings to squeeze success out of bars and clubs that are on the verge of collapse. I'm talking, of course, about John Taffer, the creator, executive producer, and host of Bar Rescue, which is now in its 9th season on the Paramount Network. He's done a lot of other things, but I'm going to stop talking because we got to hear from this man.
Yeah, let's go to work.
Let's get to work. John, you are – all right. I'm just going to quickly do this. All right. You've got 40 years in this industry. You've got a new brown butter bourbon, which sounds delicious and unfortunately is not in either of our glasses. Taffer Dynamics, you work with the NFL Network. You've got Taffer's Taverns. You got shows on TuneIn. How do you have time to sit here with me?
I just love what I do. Yeah. And when you love what you do, it's like going out to play every day. But, you know, I've been very fortunate. You know, the TV shows allowed me to build a brand. And I have an opportunity to exploit that brand in different ways. And you know, with the dollars I make, do charitable, do good, and do good for myself as well. Well,
that's awesome. So I'm curious about this because we see a version of you on TV. Mm-hmm. I've met you a couple of times. You're an extremely nice guy.
Thank you.
I hope that doesn't break some illusion. He's not screaming at anyone ever. But what was John Taffer like as a kid?
I was a pretty aggressive kid.
Yeah, okay.
I was, I think about school. I had a lot of friends in school. We were in a small group. All of us were sort of leaders of the group. In summer camp, I was one of the leaders. I was the Don of trouble, if you will. I was very mischievous, but nobody did anything wrong without clearing it with me first. I always had the kind of personality that sort of took control of the room, if you will.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It just always
came
natural to me.
And you were, I know you're a musician, you're a drummer. Seems to go hand in hand, like everyone's got to literally march to my beat.
Well, yes, and life is a beat.
Yeah.
And restaurants are a beat.
Right.
You know, look at a fine steakhouse, the waiter walks slow, the lights are dim. Look at an inexpensive restaurant, the waiter walks fast, the lights are bright. If the waiter walks fast in the steakhouse, that steak isn't worth $80 anymore.
Right, right.
So the pace of life is very, very important.
Yeah, 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 of course. That's awesome. Over the years, we've watched you walk into some setups that were quite foul. Are there any that haunt you to this day that when you think back to it, you're just like, how did I not contract 12 diseases from that?
Yeah, there's actually a bunch of them. Often I have to pour garlic powder on the tip of my tongue and breathe through my mouth because the kitchen stench is so horrible I can't even breathe in it. You know, we've opened refrigerated doors, found dead raccoons in them.
Oh.
We've been in kitchens, and as I'm standing next to my chef, the rats are running into our feet. We can hear them hitting our sneakers and feel them hitting our sneakers. I found used prophylactics behind bars. the things that we've discovered are unbelievable. But, you know, irresponsibility breeds that kind of thing. And that's what really gets me. And when we speak about me getting angry, I don't mind if you want to make some mistakes and lose money. But to be irresponsible and get people sick and screw your employees and take away opportunities from them, that's when I get angry.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine how you could want to run a business and also prophylactics laying around.
You're also they're letting their wives down, their husbands down, they're letting their kids down, their families down. So it's deep, you know. And I always say that every failing business has a failing owner.
Right, right, right.
And with many of these people, if I build them the Taj Mahal, they'll screw it up.
Right,
so I can't fix the business until I fix them.
Right, yeah.
And that's where the ugliness of the show comes in, because people resist that.
Yeah, some people are really resistant, and it makes me wonder, has anyone ever, thrown a punch? I mean, it gets competitive.
Nobody's ever thrown a punch at me, but we've had slight pushing altercations once or twice.
Okay.
But most people realize I'm fighting for them, not with them.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I'm sure that you'll push back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't back down. I'm not that way.
Yeah, you don't seem that type. But one thing, you know, as you just touched upon, too, though, and that I saw in the trailer for the new season – is that you were talking to someone and you said, I want to help you bring joy back to what you do. And that really hit me when you said that. That's a big part for you. You just
imagine this. Imagine you put your life savings into a business. You're losing money. The joy is gone. Your dream became a nightmare.
Yeah.
And now I show up. You got enough money for 30 days. I look at your wife, your kids at home. You're about to lose your house, and I'm going to be aggressive as hell. It's tough.
Yeah.
And some of them embrace it, some don't.
Right, right, right. How is the bar business these days? If I told you I'm thinking of opening one tomorrow, would you say, great idea, Dan, or would you say, maybe think about something else?
I wouldn't say either. Okay. I would say if the location is good and your concept is good, great. Yeah. But be cautious, because today's marketplace is challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
But people are still making money.
Yeah.
Just probably less of them.
Yeah, I'm sure people recognize you, obviously. Like, are people asking you for advice on the streets?
Sure.
Yeah, what are people always asking you about?
I mean, how do you deal with these days? They're asking me, what do you do when your costs are so high
right.
that you can't make money and you can't pass those costs around to the consumer?
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize in a restaurant business, we run about a 30% food cost. So if my hamburger goes up $3, I have to raise it by $9.
Right.
And the consumer might not be able to accept that $9. I don't have that much elasticity.
Yeah.
So I can only raise it maybe $3. So I just lost my 30% food cost is now 37% food cost.
Jeez.
And I only had 12 points profit to start with. So
right.
A lot are struggling. And believe it or not, Ozempic is affecting the industry. Really? People are coming in and ordering appetizers, not entrees. People are eating less.
Wow.
Cannabis has affected the spirits industry. It's not a great year for spirits.
Right, right, right.
So you know, there's a lot of outside influences that are impacting. There's a lot of changes going on in our society these days.
So if you you just said that the spirits industry is getting impacted, but you're launching your own.
Mm-hmm.
What was that decision like?
Well, launching Taffer's Tavern was a passion. You know, I really wanted to do some elevated tavern, something that was really special that would create great reactions.
Yeah.
So we put it together years ago. We opened our first one during the pandemic. So my timing couldn't have been worse.
Yeah, perfect.
But the restaurant's still open. It's doing great.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're opening an international drive in Orlando soon. We're opening our third unit in Atlanta soon. So it's doing very, very well. But, you know, it's some of it is the fact that I don't have to build the brand. I'm not a new restaurant company.
Yeah.
My brand is established.
Right.
I'm just leveraging it in a restaurant space.
Right, right.
It gives me a great advantage. I don't have to do brand building, marketing. I don't have to tell everybody who and what I am.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we put my picture on the side of the building. We say opening soon. Then we say opening in 10 days, and we change it to 9 days, change it to 8 days.
That's
we
great.
Do a countdown, and when we open, we belong around the block.
And as we said at the top, and as you said, you say you love what you do, so it doesn't feel like work, but it is work.
It isn't.
So how do you – I think everyone feels just stretched to their outer limits when it comes to time. How do you protect your time? How do you stop yourself from just falling over exhausted?
Well, I'm fortunate enough to have a business that's large enough that I have a great team.
Mm-hmm.
But the important part of a team is to understand what requires my attention and what doesn't. I don't need to reorder napkins for my restaurant. Somebody else can do that.
Right, right. Right.
I'll choose the napkin that I better do.
Yeah, yeah,
but somebody else can reorder it. Somebody else can do training. Somebody else can do this. So I've become very good at delegating, and I have a great team around me, particularly my president and my chief of staff, who's very great at taking my delegation and redelegating it out and tracking it and monitoring it. So it's a team of people around me that make it all work.
Why is Mathnasium one of the world's fastest growing franchises? Because demand for after-school math help is skyrocketing, making it an exceptional financial opportunity with the power to change lives. That's also why Mathnasium is consistently recognized as the number one math-only education franchise. With over 1,100 centers worldwide, Mathnasium is the trusted brand in math education, helping students build confidence and develop a love for math. Protected territories are available. Get your free franchise information kit at mathnasiumfranchise.com. That's mathnasiumfranchise.com.
This wisdom, is this stuff that you've just developed over the years? Did you have a mentor who like kind of sat you down at one point?
Yeah, my grandfather.
Your grandfather?
Yeah, my grandfather actually gets credit for inventing direct mail.
Really?
Yeah, and in Brooklyn, New York here, not far from here, he had found a printing press in a garbage thing, a little hand printing press. And he started printing flyers and sticking them in newspapers when he was 14 and 15 years old.
Really?
And then it turned into a storefront operation. And then he was bought by a major ad agency. And he became the inventor of direct marketing and direct mail marketing.
Wow.
So I come from an achieving family.
Yeah, right.
And have a bit of marketing in my blood. So was
there a choice for you that I'm just going to be a drummer and see what happens? Or was it like, you got to do something?
I love playing the drums. I love music. I took drum lessons for 9 years. So I went to California.
Wow.
And to play the drums and wound up running the Troubadour.
Oh, really?
Which is a very famous nightclub in Los Angeles. From the Troubadour, a headhunter contacted me and recruited me to go to a resort upstate New York, Grossinger's in the Catskill Mountains. You want to talk about the differences in life, culture shock. From Hollywood to Troubadour to the Catskill Mountains, a kosher resort. I became a food and beverage director, got quite good at it. And became resident manager. It was one of the largest resorts in America at the time. And then
I went to a bar mitzvah at Grossinger's.
Yes. And then after that, I became general manager of a hotel. And then vice president of a hotel chain. And I was giving a speech one day at a convention in Vegas, and somebody said, you should be on TV. And that's how it all started.
Really?
Yeah.
So someone says that, and then you say, okay, I'm going to start a TV show? Like what?
Well, I
what
said, okay. Next? So I went home and I wrote something up called On the Rocks, about 3 pages. And I had been a worked with Paramount Consumer Marketing before with licensing and such.
Okay.
Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and some of those things. And so I called my friends at Paramount. I said, listen, do me a favor. I got this idea for a TV show. Can you put a couple of TV people in a room for me? Let me come pitch it. Tell me if I'm crazy. So the head of TV was actually in a room. I go to Paramount. I drive through the big Paramount gates. I park. I go up to the conference room. I tell him my idea, and the head of Paramount looks at me, and I'll say it cleaner than he said it to me, looks at me and says, John, you will never freaking be on television. You're too old. You're not good looking enough. It'll never happen. So I drive out of the Paramount gates, and I think to myself, you know, I'm the only person who can say no to me. And I created my own sizzle reel. And then I sent that sizzle reel to 4 production companies, and I got 4 out of 4 offers.
Really?
And in less than a year, the show launched on Spike TV, which was part of the same corporation as Paramount. And the head of Paramount Television, who is a friend of mine, back then it was a company that sold black roses in a coffin-shaped box. And the premiere night of Bar Rescue, I sent him one of those. But, you know, it goes to show that we can only say no to ourselves.
Yeah.
And somebody else's no doesn't have to be your no.
Right.
And entrepreneurs fight no's. Real entrepreneurs can be inspired by no's. Right. I am. When somebody says you can't do that, boy, that's inspirational to me.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. Well, I was just going to ask you, so many people talk about, you know, learning from failures. You just told a great story, but are there any other moments that you could think of where maybe it wasn't someone saying no, but just something you tried that just didn't go the way you wanted it to, and what you were able to take from that?
Yeah. My first business venture, my partner ripped me off for all my money.
Oh.
And I learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
As far as paperwork and contracts and all those kind of things, and handshakes are not as valuable as you think they are. But, you know, probably my biggest lessons the past 15 years or so have come from Bar Rescue. You know, and I tell a story all the time of, it was about 120th episode. I'm at 272 now. I'm in Detroit, Michigan, and I asked this bar owner, a woman, why she's failing. And I always ask everyone. Sometimes it makes the final cut. Sometimes it doesn't. And I ask her why she's failing, and she looked me in the eyes and said, I'm failing because of the euro in Greece. This is in Detroit, Michigan. So I thought about it. Yeah, there's a Greek population there, but not that huge.
Yeah.
So I go back to my hotel room that night, and I think to myself, 120 episodes, I've asked that question 100 times. Not once did the owner look at me and say, I'm failing because of me. Every single time they blamed someone or something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I realized, holy cow, I found a common denominator failure. You know why? She wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, blames her failure on somebody else. She has no reason to change.
Right, right, right.
But what if she woke up that morning and blamed a failure on herself? She wouldn't like that. She'd look herself in the eyes and say, I'm a failure. That's when change happens.
Right, right.
So I've learned that the common denominator of failure, particularly for the entrepreneur, is excuses.
Huh.
You see, excuses allow you to shift accountability from yourself to whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
You go to sleep at night, you feel warm and fuzzy. It's not your fault that you lost all that money. It's not your fault that you didn't hit your sales number. It's not your fault that your people are quitting on you. None of it's your fault. So you go to sleep feeling like a baby. You're warm and fuzzy. But it's BS.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the fact is, it is your fault. And the sooner we accept that accountability, the sooner we seek change.
Right.
The sooner we seek growth. So if I were to share with a young entrepreneurs, you know, what is the most powerful lesson I've learned? It's excuses. And whoever tells you you can't do something, remember, only you can say that.
Huh. Wow. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking of so many excuses for myself.
We all do it.
Yeah.
You know, we do it in our personal lives. We do it in our professional lives. But if you think about it, what is the definition of an excuse? Something we didn't do that we should have.
Yeah.
Right? Something we should have done that we didn't.
Right.
We didn't hit our quota. We didn't hit our numbers. We otherwise screwed something up.
Yeah.
If we didn't screw something up, we wouldn't need the damn excuse.
Right. Right. Right.
So you know, I think the excuse takes the screw up and takes it off you and puts it someplace else.
Wow, that's great. Wondering habits. Do you have any daily or weekly or whatever habits? One that you're has helped you greatly, and then two, a habit that you wish you could get rid of?
You know, I think that there's a real consciousness of a habit that I've developed over the years that has been very successful for me. You know, we all work in our businesses, but we don't work on them.
Yeah.
And there's a real difference. So by isolating time every month that I work on my business, I've become much more successful, because growth comes when you work on it, not when you work in it. So learning that lesson for myself, I allocate time. I spend a good amount of time alone.
Mm.
I think about things. I strategize about things. I don't rush decisions. And by blocking time by myself, I can really think things through, have clarity in how I direct my team and what I do. I'm not shotgunning. I'm not changing my mind. So rushing doesn't always work. Now, Bar Rescue is strange because they do 60 days work in 4 days.
Yeah, so it's
incredibly rushed.
Yeah.
But the reality is, when you work on your business, that's when you step back. You think.
Mm.
You see what it feels like. You strategize. You look your customers in the face. You get belly to belly with them. And these are really important exercises.
Yeah.
Because when you're close to your customer and you're close to your employee, then you're much closer to your success, I believe.
So is that something that – was there a point in time where you weren't so sort of – zen about it, where you didn't have this time, where you were making rush decisions and it didn't serve you?
When I was young and stupid, I would say,
yeah.
And I was flustered,
yeah.
And I made quicker decisions and I was being more reactive.
Yeah.
And reactive is fine sometimes. I mean, business causes that need to be reactive at points.
Yeah.
But when I learned to get ahead of it and anticipate and be a little more strategic and a little less emotional about what I do, because business is not emotions. You know, business is not our children.
Uh-huh.
You write me a check big enough, you can have the whole damn thing. I have no connection to it whatsoever.
Right.
And that's the other key to my success, is my businesses are businesses. They're not my children. I'm not emotionally connected to them.
Okay.
I'll close them in a minute if they don't make money.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll move on.
Yeah.
I'll sell them in a minute if that's profitable.
Yeah.
So understand what a business is. A business is there to provide income. Not emotional stability. That comes from your family. So understand what it is. Treat it as a money machine. Sell it as a money machine. And exploit it as a money machine.
That's awesome. I love that. And finally, I mentioned that you've got these shows on TuneIn. And one of them is
John Taffer on Small Business.
John Taffer on Small Business. So I wonder, as a final note here, if you could give small business owners a little homework, something they could think about that they could do or be thinking about right after this episode that maybe they could even start tomorrow, that's going to put them on a path towards growth or whatever they're trying to achieve. Yeah.
You know, I think that the greatest businesses come when you match passion with opportunity. So I always tell everybody, start with the passion. All of us are really good at something. All of us will wake up every morning and love doing something. You like what you do, Dan. I can tell you enjoy this.
Yeah.
So what a wonderful life you have to wake up and enjoy what you do every day. I want everybody listening to have that same thing. So where is your passion? And don't say my passion is you know, so specific, weaving sweaters. No, what is your passion? Do you like working with people? Do you like working with technology? Are you like selling? What is your passion when you wake up every day? What do you really want to do? Do you want to create things? Do you want to run things? Do you want to sell things? Do you want to teach? Do you want to educate? Do you want to grow people? Where does your joy come from?
Yeah.
If you can find that answer, I want to sell. I want to help people. I want to be in a people business. That'll set you on a path of passion. Passion drives success. And the most successful people I've ever met, I'm sure you agree with this, Dan, are the most passionate people I've ever met.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting a lot of passion from you, but other people that I've talked to. John, thank you so much. I'm so glad you were able to swing by. I would say good luck with everything, but you don't need my luck.
Oh, I'll take the luck every chance I get,
Dan. All right. Thanks, man.
Good to see you.
Yeah. And that's our show. Once again, a big, big thank you for the big, big man, John Taffer. Hope that conversation got you fired up. If you liked it, please give us a rating and subscribe to our little show and help us grow. You can also check us out on all the social media channels for Entrepreneur Media. Also check us out on YouTube. And if you are digging this sweet, sweet theme song, you can listen to more music by Nika RPM on Bandcamp. All right, we'll see you next time, or you'll hear me next time, or you'll see and hear me next time. Something will happen next time. See you then.